Good morning, happy Monday, and welcome to the 7 a.m. Eastern Time Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Amy G., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Maryland. Today's date is Monday, December 9th, 2024, and today we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are in the chapter, How It Works. We are on page 63, the third paragraph. We found it very desirable going through that one paragraph that ends in was felt at once. Today's readers are, and thank you so much to Team Monday, Chanel T., Tamara C., Elizabeth D., on the 12 steps, Patrick O., The Tradition, Susan G., Nancy C. on announcements, newcomer greeter Suzanne W., and our host for the second awesome unrecorded hour, Ann A. The share ID for yesterday's special edition on Sunday, December 8th, 21,977, 21,977. OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask for Patrick O. to read the 12 steps. Please go ahead, Patrick.
Good morning, Patrick, compulsive eater. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you.
Thank you, Patrick. I will now ask for Susan G. to read the 12 traditions. Please go ahead, Susan.
Thank you, Amy. It's Susan G., recovered compulsive overeater. Tradition one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you. I'll pass.
Thank you, Susan. Okie dokie, how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and the literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. If you go over, you'll hear me say time. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only, please. Once our absence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. Again, this meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute your phone. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone again. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study in the Big Book. We are in the chapter How It Works. We are on the third paragraph, and I will ask Chanel T. to get us started. Please go ahead, Chanel.
Thank you, Amy. This is Chanel in Washington State. I'm a grateful compulsive eater, and I'm gratefully recovered today by the grace of God.
What page, please? Page 63, third paragraph. Please go ahead, Chanel.
Thank you. We found it very desirable to take this spiritual step with an understanding person, such as our wife, best friend, or spiritual advisor. But it is better to meet God alone than with one who might misunderstand. The wording was, of course, quite optional, so long as we expressed the idea, voicing it without reservation. This was only a beginning, though if honestly and humbly made, an effect, sometimes a very great one, was felt at once. Some powerful words right there. You know, that prayer is powerful. And we talked about that on Friday. And if anybody didn't get to hear about it, there's 2 recordings of it. Beautiful stuff, though, just reading it. And in the days that this was written, this book, there were definitely situations where somebody wouldn't be able to get a sponsor, which I don't even think they called it back then. And they would have to do it with a spiritual advisor or someone who was an understanding person otherwise. Not the case anymore. Wow, it is not hard to find someone who can be my sponsor. That's not hard to do. I have an amazing one. I'm very grateful. But what I love about this is, but it is better to meet God alone than with one who might misunderstand. I get to take calls, and I'm sure some of you do too, from people who do this, and then they do it with their sponsor. It's like they do it. I also get to do it with people who say, the wording was, of course, quite optional, so long as we express the idea of voicing it without reservation. And they have reworded it in a way that the third step prayer resonates for them, expressing the same idea. What a beautiful thing to take it. Remember in grade school when we had to read it and then write it out in your own words. And we had to learn how to not copy and plagiarize and all those things. Well, I can plagiarize here. I can read it exactly the way it is, and I love it. But if I want to change the words so that that same idea is more to my heart's meaning, where I get it, and I get it, and I get it. You know what I mean? It just is hits me right at my core. And I can do that. And this was only a beginning. And it is. It's a decision I'm making to work the rest of the steps like my life depends on it. That's what step three is. It's a decision to turn. It's a decision to say, well, I can't do this thing. I am powerless over food. I'm powerless over food behaviors. And my life is unmanageable. I think, and I'm willing to believe, that there is a power greater than me, and that maybe, just maybe, that power will restore me to sanity. And those are steps one and two, right? And so I am making this beginning of saying, okay, I'm at the end of me, so I'm going to turn this over to something or someone higher than me, greater power, and I'm going to just work the rest of the steps. I'm just going to do it anyway. Nothing else has worked, so I'm going to do that. And for many, many people in other programs and in this program, that has been the saving grace, making that decision and working the rest of the steps, knowing that maybe there's something that will come from that that gives me freedom. And I can tell you from my own experience, it does give me freedom. Every day. Very grateful for this prayer, grateful for this meeting, and for all of that, I want to pass. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you so much, Chanel T, for getting us started. Wow. Okay. Let's keep it rolling. Although we value your experience, strength, and hope, if you've shared in the last couple of days any Vision for You meeting, namely on Thursday or Friday, we ask that you step aside and allow others to share their experience, strength, and hope as well. Who would like to share what was read?
KS.
Nicole J. Okay.
Jane F.
Johanna.
New Hampshire.
Jane. Johan.
Tamara C.
Tamara.
Nancy R.
Nancy R. Kay, Nicole, Jane, I think I heard, Johan, Tamara C, Nancy R. Who did I miss? Or did I actually get everybody, which would be miraculous? Anyone else? Okay, let's go. KS followed by Nicole S. Please go ahead, Kay.
Good morning. This is KS, a compulsive reader in North Carolina. I remember when I took step three the first time, and I was so paralyzed to say the words. I remember just fighting to get the words to come out because I'd had so many years of trying to have a higher power be a part of my life and my childhood religion and times when I really felt like I was close to my higher power, in and out of recovery. So when I actually got to step three and took the third step, did the third step prayer, it was like they stuck in my throat. But once I actually said the words, it was a healing, softening of my heart. And, you know, it was a kind of dramatic experience, which can happen sometimes, but what I've realized as I've gone on, and I say this prayer every day, when I get out of bed, I get to my knees, and one of the things I pray is the third step prayer. And I've realized, as I'm looking at this morning, with a sense of my own powerlessness, which has grown as I've been in recovery, this prayer talks about what God is doing. You know, I'm offering myself. And then right away, it says, I offer myself to thee so that you will build with me, do with me as thou wilt, relieve me of the bondage of self, take away my difficulties, And these are the things that I cannot do by myself, and which, you know, again, adds to my understanding of my powerlessness. I can take step three. I can be willing to take the action to ask for these things and to continue to, excuse me, to commit to continuing to work these steps. But the action that I take is met, my sponsor calls it the intersection of willingness and grace. The action I take is met by a power greater than myself that can come in and actually do these things for me. And I just have to be willing to show up and every day with a fresh start and be willing to ask for my will to be aligned with my higher power. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, KS from North Carolina. Nicole S., you're up. Please go ahead, followed by Jane.
Thank you. This is Nicole J., as in Joy, in Virginia, recovered compulsive reader. We found it very desirable to take this spiritual step with an understanding person. This time around, after many years of relapse coming, I took this step with three different people. I did. And then I asked them to pray, each of them to pray for me. And that was such a powerful experience. Because what am I doing in step three? I finally understood after all those years of being back, not just in the food, but back in self-will run riot, back in relational bankruptcy, back in emotional bankruptcy. I finally understood just how powerless I was over all of life and how much I needed God. And, you know, I had accepted God into my life as a child, you know, and reaffirmed that time. It wasn't like I had never done this, I thought. But this time, I think I took it more seriously what it says in that end of that paragraph prior to that. It says, we needed to make sure we were ready to at last abandon ourselves utterly to Him. And what that meant to me was, I empty myself of myself to the best of my ability here, and I understand that it's all about you, God, from here on. Your will, your plan, your way of doing things, your way of life. I have a new way that I'm going to live my whole life. I'm going to live differently from here. And I don't even know what that's going to look like, but I know that I don't want it to look like what it has looked like. And so here I am, here in all my troubles, as it says in the book. You know, and that was such a powerful experience this time around to realize that, hey, I did trust God that I could abandon myself to Him. I believed and knew He was real. And I knew that I could not do anything on my own with my own life, nothing good. So it was easier to take, but it was still really emotional. And I found myself grateful that I took this step with other people. I think you can do step three. You can pray that prayer and make that decision all by yourself in the quiet of your own room. But the book is telling us it's best to do it with somebody else who understands. Because that's, to me, that's where the sense of fellowship really began. That I'm not alone. I'm part of a whole community of people, mm-hmm. a fellowship of people who are doing this. Thanks, I pass.
Thank you, Nicole J. Missed where you were from. Could you please tell me?
Virginia.
Virginia. Okay, neighbor. All right, that was Nicole J. from Virginia. All right, Jane, you're up. I didn't get your initial. If you could please give me your initial and where you're from.
All righty. Good morning, everybody. My name is Jane S., and I'm from New Hampshire, and that's S as in Sparky. Thank you, everyone, for your service and everyone who shares on this meeting. It's just such a beautiful way of life. I'm grateful to be a part of it. I'm grateful to understand today that I am a real compulsive overeater, and I'm recovered today. And God, what a beautiful thing to say. And gosh, what a powerful paragraph. I have taken this step many, many times over the last 15 and a half years of my life in our parent program and in this program. And each experience is different, you know. I've taken it in a Native American ceremony way with a peace pipe, which I'm grateful I didn't have to smoke. But I've taken it on the beach, on the ocean. I've taken it in so many different places. And of recent in the past, I don't know, I guess it was 5 months ago now, I took it with three other women and then with my sponsor. And the difference this time is what stuck out to me, and I circled it today, is that if honestly and humbly made, God is molding me and working with me every day, because every day I say this prayer in my own way to Him, with Him, as I celebrate Him and spend time with Him in the morning. And I say, please do with me what you will. Show me, mold me, help me to do your will today, and so that I can be of service to you and to other people. You know, and I mean that today. And my honesty is number one priority. God is first, but honesty is right there next to it, because I've gotten in this time and God has helped me clean house completely. And still a few things come up here and there, but my amends finally after 15 years are really truly have been made. And God just continues to make these miraculous things happen and manifest in my life today. I'm just so grateful. And I can be aware today and be honest. And my recovery is progressing now because my humility is growing. My humbleness is growing. It's not about me. God shows me and nudges me when I start to be selfish and try to control and try to take over His position. And I realize it today. I see it today. And I'm grateful to see it because it's giving me a freedom that I've never had in my life before. It's one of the most beautiful things. And the other day when there was a few women, when we were reading this and the woman was talking and she was in tears with gratitude and joy, that's what I feel today. It's just such a beautiful place to be. And to be able to, I get to take a fifth step today with a woman. And I haven't done that for quite some time. And that's another miracle that God is giving me. And I don't know. I don't think I have anything else to say other than I'm just truly grateful to have found this group. You guys are absolutely amazing. Thank you for all your shares. And if you haven't pushed star one, do it because it just feels good. Thanks, everyone, for your service. I love you all. Have a great day. I pass.
Thank you so much, Jane S. from New Hampshire. Johan, you're up, followed by Tamara C. Please go ahead.
Hey, good morning, Amy. Good morning, everybody. My name is Johan Ann. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Sweden, cold Sweden. Thank you so much for service today. Great shares, great paragraph, great chapter. You know, sometimes I hear people say, like, I wonder how this program works. How does it work? And, you know, I tell them, well, read chapter 5. We have a whole chapter that is called How It Works. So here we are. And I remember coming into this program, doing the first step prayer for the first time, and I was calling myself an atheist. I didn't have any beliefs in a God or a higher power or anything, but I was beaten by the disease and I had nowhere else to go. And here I was at the first step prayer. And it says that if you do this without reservation, that we can get a great effect. And that's also what I felt when I did this first step for the first time. I felt calm. I felt at ease. I felt that I was, you know, on my way somewhere to recovery. Yeah, it really worked. And, you know, this is a decision to go on with the steps and to do the steps and continue to do the steps. And it's just this program, it's very pragmatic. It's very authentic. And if I do it humbly and, you know, honest, I will get recovery. I will get to live in all these promises that is throughout this book. And I will get such a beautiful life, which I have today, thanks to this program. And a vision for you has just been a blessing in my life. I came into OA in the beginning of 2019. And it was just me and a few other people that came into this meeting and listened to these meetings. And today in Sweden, we have 4 days a week, we have our own Swedish A Vision for You meetings. We're starting a new meeting next year in January on Friday. Friday is going to be called TGIF, A Vision for You in Swedish. So we're going to have five Swedish A Vision for You meetings. So it's just And, you know, we were a few people. Now we are 200 people in our WhatsApp group here in Sweden for A Vision for You in Swedish. So it's just it's fantastic. It's a blessing. We were a few people with Big Book in the beginning, and now we are hundreds of people with Big Book in our hands, you know, getting recovery and, you know, spreading the message. And it's just a fantastic thing. So I'm so grateful for these meetings, for all of you guys, and, you know, for my sponsor that have showed me the way through this and are continuing to show me the way. And, you know, of course, for my sponsors that are keeping me abstinent one day at a time. So, you know, it works if you work it, how it works. Thank you. I'll stop with that. Thanks.
Thank you, Johan. Johan M. from Sweden. Wow. Awesome. Tamara C., you're up, followed by Nancy B. Just a friendly reminder, we are on page 63, the third paragraph. And after Nancy, we'll take some more names. All right, Tamara, you're up. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning. This is Tamara C., recovered compulsive overeater. I live in Missouri. I was, as I've read this, I've thought, like, why do they say it's desirable to take this step with another person? Can't I just do it alone? But that's my disease, always trying to tell me, just do it alone. Because I have this fear, this natural fear, old idea that don't be vulnerable, Tamara, don't be vulnerable. And so I resist the notion of inviting someone in to witness my spiritual maturing. But I take this sentence as encouragement to do just that. We found it very desirable to take this spiritual step with an understanding person. And the sponsors that I've had have encouraged me to risk this vulnerability. And at first, really, it was just all I could do to find the courage to risk it with just my sponsor. Let my sponsor come in a bit to my spiritual experience, awakening, maturing. And as I found that to be a safe and beneficial and desirable thing, then I became willing to risk allowing others to witness my spiritual awakening. And it was a great blessing. I felt connected and accepted and valued as well as humbled. And then it says here that I just need to express the idea of the step three prayer. And so for me, the idea is, you know, God, have me and mature me as you will with your timing and your way, and use me to help others. And to voice it without reservation to me means, you know, I can't have any conditions. I can't have limitation. I can't hold anything back. But I didn't know how to do that. And so, but, you know, I just made a decision, and then I went through the rest of the steps. And as I continued through the steps, I did learn. You know, I learned that I came to believe that God is for me, that I can trust God 100%, and I don't need to hold on to anything. I do want God to have my food, my life, my actions, my spiritual growth, my usefulness, everything. And as I risked the discomfort of the spiritual action and the vulnerability of sharing it with a sponsor and with fellows, then, you know, I got this experience. And today I practice what I'm learning, and the effect is more than worth it, more than worth it. I'm going to pass there. Thanks.
Thank you, Tamara C. from Missouri. All right, Nancy R., you're up, and then we will take more names. Please go ahead.
Good morning. It's Nancy R. from Illinois. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I'm grateful to be on this meeting with all of you this morning. It's been a while since I shared, so I thought I should show up. Actually, I feel like God was giving me a little poking and saying, time to share. Years and years and years ago, when I first came to program and I took step three, I was like, okay, great, I took step three. Now everything's going to follow along with giving, you know, okay, I'm done. I gave my will to God. And I very quickly realized that, no, this is an over and over and over and over and over again thing, because I give my will and my life to God, and then I take it back in some area or in all areas. And 3 years ago, when I worked the steps, as they're outlined in the big book, with a recovered sponsor, I had a wonderful experience with step three, and that was, you know, doing it with another person. And she said she wanted to have me do it this way. And so she would read a phrase or a sentence or a line, and then I would say it. She would pray that, and then I would pray it. And what I loved about it as we went through there was the slowing down process. Because I can very quickly, I know the third step prayer by heart, so I could very quickly go running through that and many of my other prayers. But to slow down and to really connect with my higher power, as I'm saying it, is a very spiritual experience. And that's what I wanted to share. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Nancy R. from Illinois. Okay, so just a friendly reminder, we are on page 63. We are on the third paragraph. So who else would like to share on what was read?
Leah S.
Leah?
Ken W. H.
Okay.
Nate Dales.
Who was that? Didn't catch your name. Okay. Well,
Deborah S. from New Jersey.
Deborah
S. from New Jersey.
Yep. Gotcha. Anyone else? Or that person whose name I did not get at all? Okay. Well, maybe they'll circle back. Anyone else before we go on?
Stephanie R.
Leslie?
Stephanie.
Oh, Stephanie. Wow. How did I get that? Okay. Stephanie?
Jennifer H.
Okay. All right. Jennifer. Okay.
Nick F. in Tennessee.
In Tennessee.
Yeah. It's like Tennessee. I said, yeah. Thank you.
All right. That's who I missed. All right, Nick. I got you on the end here. Okay. So we've got Leah S., Ken W. H., Devorah S., Stephanie R., Jennifer H., and Nick, I forgot your initial, from Tennessee. Okay, let's go, Leah.
Thank you so much, Amy. Thank you, everyone. What a wonderful meeting. And my name is Leah S. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Brooklyn, New York. So many people did not understand, and I didn't understand, that step three is an action. It's a verb, something that is going to happen to me every time that I wanted to reach for those truffles or whatever it was and pop them into my mouth. I was going to reach to God. God is going to have to be that ever infinite being that is alive to me and in my program. And yes, this God is going to help me stay abstinent. Yes, this God is going to help this impossible situation. Yes, this God is going to just be my constant companion. And I'm actively going to look for that God because it just doesn't work before. It doesn't. It says over here, relieve me of the bondage. What is bondage? I am a slave to this food. I didn't even know how much I was popping it into my mouth. I didn't know what three meals a day means because it didn't do this. I didn't do this. There were too many things and you can't even separate them. And then slowly but surely, it's a very slow path, but it started actually working for me. And the very first start was that I was abstinent one day. I will never forget that miracle. And then, of course, tons and tons of miracles that are constantly happening. It's so remarkable, but it really was an action. And also in my idea, in my mind, that, you know, food is not going to do it. It's not the answer for anything. Food has to keep my body strong. Food has to sustain me in order for me to be able to move around and do things and not look for the next bench. And then the miracles just started happening. And with that, I will pass.
Thank you, Leah S. from New York. Ken W.H., you're up, followed by Devorah S. Please go ahead, Ken.
Thank you. This is Ken W.H., recovered compulsive overeater in North Carolina. this is the second attempt at step three in the book. A couple pages back, we were at step three and then got sidetracked into an excursus about all of my selfishness and self-centeredness and all about me, me, me. And then we came back. The book came back to we were at step three now, and followed by the prayer. This prayer is a universal, ancient kind of prayer. The content is ancient, I'll put it that way. This prayer has been said for millennia, and the wording's pretty good, but I've changed it a little bit to fit for me, and that's okay. Because it still expresses the idea, and that's the phrase in this paragraph that I picked up on. Words are optional as long as it expresses the idea, and then it doesn't proceed to tell us what the idea was, so I have to go back. And the idea that I see is the last sentence, the sentence after the prayer, that I could at last abandon myself utterly to him, to God. And that word utterly that's an ultimate, that's an nth degree abandonment. That's a complete abandonment. And then, fortunately, there's a step 11 that helps me improve my conscious contact with God as I understand him, and can grow into that relationship of abandonment. It's letting go of that selfish, self-centered self that's within me that wants to run off in another direction. So, yeah, this utter abandonment is a letting go that transcends any other form of letting go, and basically sidesteps my will, because the last thing in the world I really wanted to do was abandon myself. But circumstances led me to a place, and God led me to a place where I could finally say it with open arms, just let go, open arms, open hands, and say, okay, whatever it is, let it be. May it be so. Amen is another way to say it. And I'm grateful that that's happened for me. And so now I continue to grow. And hopefully I don't have to go back to the place again where I have to utterly abandon myself again because I didn't utterly do it the first time. So thank you for letting me share. Have a blessed day, everybody. Take care. I pass.
Thank you so much, Ken W.H. from North Carolina. Devorah S., you're up, followed by Stephanie. Go ahead, Devorah.
Hi, good morning, everyone. My name is Deborah S. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from New Jersey, and thank you all who makes this meeting possible. The shares have been phenomenal. And yes, when I took the step with my sponsor many, many years ago, one time then, she said to me, take it, write it down on a piece of paper, memorize it, have it with you on an index card, keep it in your pocket, say it with you throughout the day. And, you know, that was something that really, really stuck with me because I did memorize it. And I have this, my skill set today, thank you, God, is to, like, say this prayer when I'm driving in the car and I'm late for somewhere. You know, just get me out of myself. You know, we came to step three. We recognize that I have a food problem. I put down the food. I'm powerless over food. I'm powerless over everything. That's why we say this prayer, to bring me back to my higher power and to know that that God has me and he'll take away all my difficulties. I'm standing outside my classroom waiting to walk into my class. I say this prayer, you know, and I'm so grateful that I have this prayer that I memorized all those years ago, that it's a part of my what I do. And it says right here, the last sentence, this is only a beginning. Though if honestly and humbly made, in effect sometimes a great one was felt at once. And I have to say, you know, at the beginning, I didn't know if I felt that effect. But today, as I go deeper and as I start learning more and as I become, you know, redefining and getting acquainted more and more with my higher power, I feel that effect more and more. And it's true. It works. It really does, as the book says. And this aligns myself also with my step 11, because, you know, as we go through the day, we pause. When I pause, I bring into mind this prayer, you know. I offer, you know, God, show me what you want from me today. You know, thy will be done. You know, I'm so grateful. This is a prayer that centers me back to God, back to the source, gets me out of myself, shows me that God, I'm not running the show. God has me. And God knows what are my difficulties, what I'm struggling with. And higher power is there for me to take them away, you know, whenever he sees fit, whenever higher power sees fit. Just really, really grateful to be able to express myself today. I am available to sponsor if anybody wishes and needs one. And with that, I will pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Deborah S. in New Jersey. All righty, Stephanie R., you're up. Please go ahead, followed by Jennifer H.
Good morning, Amy. Good morning, family. This is Stephanie R. from Missouri, recovered compulsive overeater. I really wanted to claim my seat today because it's really important for me to stay so in touch with thy will be done. All of my life, I felt like I was truly running the show. I was the director, the producer, and it has given me such a sense of ease to wake up in the morning and say the third step prayer and then the set aside prayer that I just stay so much in contact with my higher power that I stay outside of myself. I can be so selfish in looking at the world and asking it to give me ease and comfort when that is a prayer that is not based on surrender and being open to what God wants for me to do. I do believe I'm supposed to be of service to others in the program and outside of the program. And when I just truly tap into thy will be done and leave it there, I can just step back and just actually have a spiritual because I'm able to breathe and know that I am not doing this if I truly listen to my higher power guiding my steps. It's important for me to say that and to claim my voice and be willing to say that as a recovered compulsive overeater, I am not in control. And that's a beautiful place for me to be today. And I just want to share that joy and that gratitude that this program has been a miracle in my life. And I continue to expect, and not necessarily expect, but accept those miracles when they are given to me, and they're given to me daily just by breathing. And so I will stop there, and thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Stephanie R. from Missouri. All right, Jennifer H., followed by Nick. All right, go ahead, Jennifer, you're up.
Hi, good morning. This is Jennifer H. From Virginia. And I was just thinking about when I first started saying this prayer, and it's been almost 10 years. And the power of this prayer that I almost saw immediately as a shift of turning towards God and away from myself and really thinking every day, relieve me of the bondage of self. What's the bondage of myself today? You know, what am I caught up in? What's the selfishness, self-seeking, the controlling that I want to do? And, you know, and really at that, you know, with this prayer saying, you know, God, I give this to you. You show me where to stand, where to be, what to say, and you know, and to really surrender it to you. And I have to say that the power that I have received from doing this prayer and staying in, you know, this state of turning towards God and giving things over to God, you know, I have built amazing things. You know, I have restored relationships with my children. Just had so much more power at work, you know, that intuition comes to you. I feel so much more effective and at peace, and also learning what's mine and what's not, you know, and that's just been so powerful, and just so grateful for the reminders today. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Jennifer H. from Virginia. All right, Nick, you're up, and then we might have time for a couple more. Please go ahead. And I didn't get your initial, please.
I'm Nick S. in Tennessee. I almost said my whole last name. Nick S. isn't fun.
Okay. Please go ahead.
All right. Good morning, family. And I just said I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Just in case, I want you to put your seatbelt on for the next couple of minutes, because I really don't know what I want to say, but I believe God would have me to say that, you know, I said this prayer. I was in this other program, no shade to the other program, because it did help me with what it helped me with, except I was a compulsive overeater. And then because of my drinking, my addiction to liquid bubbly sugar, I had to go to another program, and I prayed this prayer, and it didn't help me with my eating. So at one point in my life, I got mad at God because I was praying all these prayers, but I had no help with my eating. And today, you know, I can fix five days worth of food and send it to my sponsor, and she'll tell you, you know, if I choose something different that's absent and recovered, I'm gonna let her know. And, you know, God has been good to me. What I say, God, I offer myself to thee, you know, everything that I am and everything that I'm not. And I'm finding out that even though I'm recovered, I'm still not God. No matter how cute I get, no matter how good I sound, I'm still not God. And that's the thing that I struggle with, because of my diseased state of mind. I always wanted to be God and play God. But at the end of the day, God brought me to this meeting so that I can hear about who the real true God is. And let me show you how sometimes I play God to the folks in Sweden. I thought that was, oh, that made me want to shout. They got a, you know, all these meetings. And in my mind, I said, well, I hope they checked with the meeting police to make sure that that was okay. Man, that shit ain't none of my business. I just get to thank God.
Yeah, that's crosstalk too, hon. So just
I apologize.
All right.
Oh, well, thank you for correcting me, because I need to be corrected at times. And I do. I get to have people in my life who get to correct me. And I get to, I got these kids, and I'm learning how to correct other people kindly. Just because I'm mom doesn't mean it's my way or the highway. So thank you, because that's something important that I do want to share about. Being a mom is real hard work, and I don't get to hide over it, and I don't get to eat over it. I get to learn how to live and be recovered. And so in my house, if the people in my home don't know that I'm recovered, then what am I doing this for? So, yeah, I really like that's very humbling to be corrected. And I pray that I can continue to be a vessel and look like God and sound like God for my children. I got two young black men, one going to the Marines and another one that's traveling doing some boxing. And I don't want them to have an ego and an arrogance like their mom. I don't want them to have to find out the hard way. But even though I found out the hard way that I'm not God, I'm so thankful that he saw fit to save my life. And I guess with that, I pass. Thank you for letting me share. Thank you, family.
Thank you so much, Nick F. from Tennessee. All right, we have time, actually, for about one or two people who would like to share.
Pat Russ, H. from Florida.
Patty and Russ. Go ahead, Patty. I didn't get your initial, but go ahead.
Okay, it's Pat H., as in Howe in Florida. So thank you for letting me share. As someone suggested earlier today, to slow down the third step prayer, I do say it every day. I run through it quickly in my head. So I've just spent some time now writing down how I can say this my way. So God, here I am. I offer myself to you. Please build with me to be a better person. I trust and surrender to you. Do what you know is best. Please help me let go of my self-will, my ego, my pride, so I can do better your plan. Take away my self-righteousness, my judgments, my criticisms, my manipulations, my self-centeredness. And when they are gone, I can see your love for me and for all others, your power to do anything, miracles, which I have seen in my life. And I have a new way of life with prayer and meditation, and I can recognize and release my character defects. Please help me remember to surrender. I am not in control, as was just mentioned. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Pat H. from Florida. Rossam, you're up, please. You can take us out.
Good morning, Aim. Good morning, family. Rossam, recovered compulsive overeater. In Norristown, PA. Man, oh man, what a beautiful meeting. And I understand this is like the semantics of taking the third step. This part of the book right now, but what I'm hearing on the line and what I feel in my heart, man, I'm just so touched and realizing that I am nowhere without God. I even got to surrender this share to God. And be hands off. And maybe I shouldn't have shared. I could have done that too. But I can't go forward without surrendering my life to God. Every aspect of it. I understand this is redundancy, maybe, but even the little mundane things, it has to be surrendered. And that is so hard because I'm very sick. I'm still sick. In certain ways. And the one thing I know, the longer I'm in program, the longer I'm working with people, is I ain't too smart, and I don't know what's going on. I have no clue what's going on, but I know one thing, there's someone bigger than me, there's an entity bigger than me that has the handbook on me, that knows how I operate, that I need to just defer to in every aspect of my life. And I'd be nowhere without that. I'd be nowhere. I don't know if I'd be able to get out of the bed if I was still taking a lot of control. I mean, it's still a struggle, but I employ this every day in every aspect of my life. And then the times I forget, I realize I need to do it because I'm a totally blithering idiot failure. So thank you, and thanks for everybody doing service, being on this meeting, because it really helps me, and I know it helps a lot of other people. Love you. Have a beautiful day.
Thank you, Russ. And it looks like we've got 2 minutes left, so would someone like to take the final share?
Herbert F.
Somebody F?
Herbert F.
Herbert. Yes, Herbert, please go ahead.
Good morning. Thank you for your service. I'm Herbert F., a recovered compulsive overeater from New Mexico. And when I first started learning about the steps, and specifically step three, I thought it was going to be easy. I thought OA was going to be easy because as soon as I learned it was a spiritual program, I thought, oh, cool, I'm a spiritual person. This ought to be easy. That's the solution. I read it in the book, but I didn't realize I had to do things like step three. And even step three, I thought, oh, well, that's going to be easy because all I got to do is just make this decision. Yeah, God, go for it. But it didn't work because I didn't really realize what surrender really, really meant. We hear that word a lot and never really knew what it meant to surrender other than just saying it. It takes the form of, you know, prayers and asking God to take control of the situation. But it really means that I have to let go of control of the results of the outcome. I can't predict the outcome of things. I can't manipulate the outcome of things, including people or circumstances, whatever it may be. And that was the real hard part, because as an addict, I want what I want, when I want it, exactly how I want it. And you are not going to get in my way. No one is going to get in my way, you know, even if, as the book says, my intentions were good. But this program has really been difficult. It's hard to do that, but the rewards are so phenomenal. And I believe that the rewards are, they're all around me, but also the rewards are waiting for me in the afterlife. That's part of my spirituality, is I do believe in the afterlife. My spirit will move on, and there's beautiful things waiting for me there, as long as I live a moral life, and the principles and the steps help me do that. Thanks so much. I'll pass.
Thank you, Herbert S. from New Mexico. I'd like to thank everyone who shared. Please join us for another awesome second unrecorded hour of study immediately following the closing. The share ID for today, 7 a.m. Eastern Time Vision for You meeting, December 9th, 2024, is 21,978. That's 21978. We will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Tamara C. please read A Vision for You?
Yep, Tamara C. here from Missouri. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.
Just waiting for the meeting